السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الذي هدى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. ما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قالوا يا شعيب ما نفقه كثيرا مما تقول وإنا لنراك فينا ضعيفا، ولولا رهطك لرجمناك وما أنت علينا بعزيز. قال يا قوم أرهطي أعز عليكم من الله واتخذتموه وراءكم ظهريا، إن ربي بما تعملون محيط. صدق الله العظيم.
It was announced that the topic for tonight is about challenges that the Muslims face. We may call it in a non-Muslim atmosphere, but generally I'm sure those Muslims who live in countries that we consider to be Islamic states, they may get a little upset that, do you think you are facing more challenges than we do in this place? Challenges are almost common all around the world. Details are different. And in reality, defining these challenges is a challenge by itself. How would you define what are these challenges? If you try to make a list of it, different people would come up with totally different lists. And it will be a long list of things that we have considered as challenges we face as we live in this world, regardless which part of the world. Therefore, before I begin, I would like to mention few important points about understanding the challenge and differentiating between things that would be challenges to us and those situations that we would just consider them to be a challenge, in reality is not. And we may, if we look with sincerity, come to a conclusion that most of the situations that we have considered to be extreme challenges, difficult situations, maybe some of the easiest things to do, and it wasn't really a big challenge, but we, according to our imaginations, our understanding, we made it a challenge and we considered it a challenge. And once we convinced ourselves that this is a big challenge, then either we started fighting against it, or we just gave up from the very beginning that I can't do it because this is too big of a challenge for me. Once I read an article, a newspaper, a robber who went to rob a bank. He robbed the bank at the gunpoint. After getting everything he wanted, he tried to run out, and you know, in the banks they have some type of locking system that if they would press the button, the doors will lock, so no one can get out. So this person, after robbing the bank, he is trying to go out, and he pushes the door, pushes it, and keeps on pushing the door, and the door doesn't open. So he realized that someone must have pressed that button and locked the door. What to do next? Now he takes it upon himself that this is the only way out, so let me then try to push the door as hard as I can. And he keeps on pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until the police comes and gets the person. And guess what? The door would open if you pull it inside. It wouldn't open if you push it out. It wasn't locked. No one had pressed no button. It was only that instead of pulling the door, he was pushing it. He considered this to be a big challenge, it's a big log here, you can see it, and here I have to push it, and I have to keep on pushing, because I have to get out of this place quickly. If he would just use his mind, then let me try to pull it too, it won't be a challenge. You see someone, you hear a lot of knock from outside, someone is banging on something, you go out, what happened? I have to get out, and my car is locked over here, and this fence is closed. And you tell him, brother, this is not the entrance. You see, the gate is over there, it's open. Many times we create challenges for ourselves. In reality, there was no challenge. And a lot of times, we put ourselves in situations where, unnecessarily, we are creating a situation, considering it a challenge, and then trying to fight it, and then gradually the person realizes, oh, I can't hold to it. I can't keep up with these challenges. It's too difficult. A person who got married, his friends advised him, you know, in the beginning days you need to control your wife. Then she will be under control for the rest of the life. You don't do it in the early days, she will control you for the rest of your life. Okay, they made up his mind. He gets married. Next morning, go quickly. Get up and warm the water for my shower. Warm up the water in a bucket and I'm coming to take a shower. Otherwise, she says, no, please. I'll do it. Don't say anything after this. This is it. She's afraid. I don't know what he will say after this now. Otherwise he would do what? Next morning. Quickly get up. Warm up the water for the shower. Or else. No, please. Sir, I'll do it. I'm doing it right now. Now he feels, mashallah, I have a good control now. Third day. Quickly get up. Warm up the water for the shower. Or else. Now this day she have learned some lesson. You must have talked to her friends too. If you have ones, she have one too. And they told her what to do. So she says, what do you mean? Or else what? He says, or else I'll take a shower with the cold water. Created such a big challenge for himself, and in no time, he's down, flat on the ground. Why did you have to put yourself into that position if you can't take the challenge? This is normally a lot of time where we put ourselves into situations. The point is understanding the challenge, realizing what is a challenge, and what are the situations where we just, according to either our imaginations or by hearsay, people are telling us and we have considered it as a challenge. And then we are just trying to fight it, or from the very beginning we just give up. That's it. I can't even go and do it. How many people are not doing things that they are supposed to do according to the Sharia? They consider it a big challenge. And they are not doing it because according to their understanding, this would be a huge challenge for me to do it. For me to do salah at my workplace. I can't do it. It's impossible. All the people are watching. There is no place. You talk to one of your friends, one of your colleagues that works in the same company, and he would tell you, yes, I talked to the manager and he assigned a room to me. It was that simple. And this person, for months, he may be thinking in his mind that if I talk to him and he would tell me no, then what I would do, I would resign, I would do this, I would fight, I would write a letter to this person, to that person. Nothing. It's really nothing. The person went, talked to the person, the same person, and that person, not only he allowed him a time, he even gave him a room to perform the salah. It happened in many situations, but the second person who's working at the same place, he's going through a big war zone in his mind. Every day he thinks of salah at workplace. There is a big battlefield in there. I would say this, he would say this, I would say this, then I would do this, then I would write this. Nothing exists. In reality, there is nothing. He can't sleep overnight. He talks to his wife. He talks to his relatives. He talks to all his friends. You know, this is what I'm planning to do. And what if they would lead me off? Let me first thing find some other places for where I can find a job. We are creating situations in our minds. It's just like that rover who is just pushing at the door. He doesn't try to pull it. It's as simple as that. Most of the things are very simple. Yes, it does not mean and it never means there are no challenges. There are. And there are many. A lot of challenges. Great challenges. And of course, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِضُ فِيهِمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِضِ عَلَى الْجَمْرَةِ. A time will come when a person holding to his deen will be just like a person holding to a flame of a fire. It will be difficult. A person will have to go a lot of situations. But are these situations that we have to go through or anyone has to go through are new situations in the world that never happened in the past? No. If we study our own history, we would realize that challenges may always be easier than the challenges of the past. MashaAllah, brothers, if some of the brothers, if you just come inside, more brothers will have a room to come inside the masjid. Jazakumullah khair. If you move closer, Jazakumullah khair. Challenges do exist, but we have precedent. We have situations that occurred in the past. And subhanallah, the beauty of the deen is, I would mention two things here. Beautiful things of our deen. Number one, there isn't anything that would be happening till the day of Qiyamah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not told us the problems with the solution of it. Everything has been mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Problems have already been solved. Answers have already been given. It's only going back to the ahadith to see what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about these situations. This is one thing. Very beautiful. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things easy for us in this deen. In time we see a big problem, huge problem. We look into the Quran and Hadith and you find the solution is very easy. And in many of the occasions, solution is so easy, that when we look at it, we start doubting it. Can this be a solution for that huge problem that we are facing? This is how easy Allah made this deen for us. This is just like a person who has a cancer in his blood. And he goes to the doctor who prescribes a medicine to him. This person had a headache earlier. And when he went and got a tablet for a headache, it was half an inch tablet. The tablet was big. And he has to swallow it with all difficulties. Now he feels, I don't just have a headache. I have a problem in my whole body with this blood circulating throughout the body. So now he goes to take a tablet with the understanding that this tablet will be a foot long. Just for the headache was that big. Now the other tablet medicine will be so big. I don't know how would I swallow it. He's taking a big challenge, goes to the pharmacy, comes back, opens the tablet, then opens the bottle to find a very small tiny tablet. I don't know if the doctor wrote me the right tablet or not. I doubt it. What this small tablet is going to do for me? This is, imagine, what are these tablets? These medicines are not new. They are not created now. These things are only researched in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created these plants long time ago. They had always existed. These plants were there, the animals were there, the birds were there, cows were there. We did some research on these animals, on the fat, on the flesh, on the bones, on these trees, on the leaves, on the grass, and found out that if you put these things together, you take the extract of these things, put it together, and make a medicine out of it, it will treat these type of diseases. This is all we did. We did our research on the effect of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put in these different things. This is the effect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put in all of these different things. In the animals, in these different parts of the animals, in these trees, in the plants, and the grass. Effect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put in these things. And now we find through our research, this is the effect of these things. MashaAllah. Let's put it together, make a small tablet out of it. This will solve big problems. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to the deen, he already made these small tablets for us, and he prescribed them for us, that when you have this type of problem, use this tablet. When you have that problem, then you use this tablet. He already prescribed all of these medicines in the hadith for us. These are tiny tablets in comparison to the huge problems that we have. This is why many times when we hear those simple solutions, right away the question comes, can this be a solution for this big problem? Yes, it is. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the effect in these different worldly things to solve these big problems in our bodies, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put much greater effect in His words and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than the effect on these worldly things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا. Initially when this deen started, it was very strange for people. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأ. Soon this deen will be strange for people, just as it was in the beginning. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, that in the beginning days of Islam, early days of Islam, people had to face a challenge. And towards the ending days of this world, people will have to face similar type of challenges. And this is why in one of the ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَنْ يُصْلِحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهُ. The last portion of the ummah can never do anything good, can never be on the track without doing what the first part of the ummah did. If they follow the same steps, they will be able to find solution for all the problems that they have. How simple it is. Those people face the same problems that we are facing now, or our generations will be facing in future. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed them how to deal with it. Most of these situations that we face, they play the largest mental role in our life. It's mainly a mental role than a physical one. If mentally the person is prepared to take it, to deal with it, then everything starts becoming simple for this person, although the physical challenge may be difficult, but mentally the person is able to take it. And that makes every situation easy for this person. And Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een were going into the Roman Empire. They are conquering town after town and after town. So the King Hercules sends a letter to the King of China, the largest population always. One of the challenges that people talk about ingredients, and they say that there is one of the ingredients called L-cysteine. I don't know, you must have heard about it. L-cysteine, it mostly dries from the hair. And this is why they say that most of the L-cysteine comes from China, because large population. And I don't want to go any further for where that comes from. Anyway, writes a letter to the King of China for help, that come and do something for us, because these people are just coming ahead, going ahead, and there is no way that we can stop them. So he sent some people to spy on the Muslims and Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, to see how come the superpower is afraid of them. And he's asking me for help. How can I help him? He's a superpower in the world. There must be something very unique about these people. As far as I know, these are very simple people. They don't know anything about wars, about fighting. These are villagers. And a person comes, he spies on them, he stays with them for a few days, goes back and informs them of everything that he has seen from Muslim, from Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Imam Tabari rahimahullah narrates that letter in his book, that the reply of the King of China was, I cannot send any help to fight against such people that if they have a mountain on their way, these people will not change their route, they will move out the mountains out of their way. Mountains cannot stop these people. How can I stop them? These people will move mountains out of their way, but they will not change the route. The route that they have chosen for themselves, for their lives, that will never change. They'll keep on walking on it. Determination that they saw in the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, where no challenge was a challenge to them. What is this? There's nothing. Let's go. Imam Waqidi rahimahullah have narrated during one of the battles, which was considered to be one of the very important battles in the history of those wars against the Roman Empire, narrates in Futuh al-Sham that the Romans had gathered an army of 60,000 people. It was during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu was the commander-in-chief for the Muslim armies. So he calls Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu and he says, Khalid, what's your opinion? They have gathered 60,000 people. So how many people should we send? Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, he says to Abu Ubaidah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Do not cause yourself to destruction. So, if I mention too small of a number, then people will say, you know, we are just jumping into those situations where we are not supposed to be. So therefore, I don't want to make a very small number either. So my suggestion will be, how about we send 30 people? He didn't Futuh al-Sham. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu says, no, I think 30 is too small of a number. And we have people too. And again, as you quoted the ayah, Allah says, لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not cause yourself to go to destruction and put yourself into that situation of destruction with your own hands. So therefore my suggestion is we should send 60 people. And that was the final decision. That was the final decision. They sent 60 people. 60,000. Read the results also, what Imam Waqidi rahimahullah have narrated. And after having that war for the whole day, at the end of the day, more than 30,000 of the kuffar were killed. Only 6, if I remember correctly, out of these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in got murdered. And the rest of the kuffar started running away at the end of the day. Mental determination. As I said, most of these things are mental. And they need determination. I want to do it. Guess what? Most of the things that we see out there, that we consider them to be very common, initially these things were not as common as we see them nowadays. People walking naked out there. Someone determined, I'm going to do it. And he started walking everywhere with that type of look. Everyone is looking at the person and doesn't care. Person is holding to his MP3, he's listening to his songs, he's jumping right and left, he doesn't care, he's singing with it. You look at his dress, you laugh, he doesn't care. Decided, this is what he wants to be. He loves to be in this situation, he loves to be like this, and he just starts walking out gradually. Another person thought this was so great, and then some of the movie stars loved it. Every child saw it. All the children thought, this is the new fashion nowadays. This is being the good person. This is when you, if you want to be the biggest star around those stars, then this is how you dress, this is how you walk. And they all started walking the same way. It is a mental situation. Where a person comes with a determination and he does something. There is a person who goes out and he walks half naked. He starts dancing, jumping here and there. He may even be drinking. And everyone looks at him. This is a great fun. People are admiring him. As soon as he stops, people are clapping, appreciating it. He gets all the money. He gets paid for it. On the other hand, of course, if there is another person who have determined, and he feels what he's doing is good, he goes out. In the middle of the mall, puts his musalla, Allahu Akbar. If this person has that determination, he also feels great. Someone is looking at him, at least I have someone looking. Finish my salah. Was it something entrusting? Yes. You know, this is what my deen teaches me. I was fulfilling one of the orders of my deen. Wherever we are, we perform our prayers. Are you interested about this? Let me tell you more about what my deen says. Someone sits out in the garden and he holds to a Quran and he reads. Right away you get a question. What language is this? Oh, this is Arabic. You know, our Quran is in original language. Has not been changed. We don't have a lot of versions of this Quran. We have only translations, but this is in original form. We have children as young as 6 years old. They memorize Quran. This person is proud of his Quran. For another person, just to be known a Muslim, he tries to hide his identity. And he doesn't want people to know him as a Muslim, because it would be a big challenge to be a Muslim and live in this society. Most of the time, it's a mental situation. If we understand things right, put everything where it's supposed to be, believe me, every challenge becomes simple. Once, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he conquered Makkah Mukarramah, and he got a lot of booty from Hunayn, and he started distributing that, and mainly, he was giving it to al-mu'allafati qulubuhum, those who just came into Islam. So he's giving them large sums. A person comes, he takes a full bag full of gold. Another person comes, he takes 200 goats. Another person comes, 100 horses. Another person, 50 camels. Subhanallah. And here they are, the people of Ansar, who supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for last 9 years now. Did everything they can for him. They offered him everything. They sacrificed everything for him. There are some young ones out of them. They're looking at it. Look, that person is going with all of those 50 camels, 100 horses, 200 goats, those bags full of gold and silver. So they started talking amongst themselves. These are the people who rejected him. Now as they accepted Islam, they are getting all the money. We helped him from the very first day. We supported him when they rejected him. And we gave him a refuge in our hometown. We offered him our homes. And we did so much for him. And now, he's not giving us nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam learned about it. And he calls all the people of Ansar. And he gives his khutbah. Ya ma'ashar al-Ansar, مَا قَالَةٌ بَلَغَتْنِي عَنْكُمْ وَجِدَةٌ وَجَدْتُمُهَا. I heard some of you are upset about this situation for me giving the money to those people who had just become Muslim, to these leaders, and not giving it to you people. Some of the young ones amongst you are a little upset about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam realized this is nothing but a mental status. SubhanAllah, he was hakeem. Allah blessed him with the wisdom. How to solve this problem now? How to make people understand that you were not given that money for a reason? Yes, you did all of this for Islam, but you didn't do it for money. But still, give us something. It doesn't mean if we did it for Islam, we get nothing. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would like them to understand things the way they are. Ya ma'ashar al-ansar, اللَّهِ لَإِنْ قُلْتُمْ لَصَدَقْتُمْ وَلَصَدَّقْتُكُمْ. I swear by God, if you say the following, you would be truthful and I would confirm these statements. Go ahead and say that when these people rejected you, we are the ones who accepted you. When these people forced you out of your own hometown, we gave you refuge in our town. When these people disbelieved in you, we were the first to believe in you. Go ahead, say it. And I would confirm what you're saying is true. The point that you are missing, O people of Ansar, is مَا تَرْضَوْنَ أَن يَرْجِعَ النَّاسُ بِالدِّينَارِ وَالدِّرْهَمِ وَتَرْجِعُونَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Won't you be happy that if these people don't realize that these people are going back to their homes with gold, silvers, with cows and camels, and you will be going back to your home with the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. See what you are taking and see what they are taking. Now you tell me, what do you want? Do you want me to take these things from them, give it to you, and then I would go and live with them? All were weeping, Ya Rasulullah, sorry, we are extremely sorry. We didn't see the way you are explaining. Now we realize what our mistake was. We never realized we were making such a big mistake in our life. Now, just apply the simple hadith on our lives. And then see that a lot of times when we feel that I have to fight it, I have to do this, I have to do that because I'm losing, we would realize it wasn't a lose situation. We were winning. Is we did not realize our win, we did not realize our benefit. When our children were coming back with the deen of Allah, and others were going back with gold and silver, with cows and cattle. When we compared the two situations, we thought we were losing. ما ترضون أن يرجع الناس بالدينار والدرهم وترجعون برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Again, we need to ask ourselves the very same question. Won't you be happy if people would go with gold and silver and you go back to your homes with the deen of Allah, with the sunnah of Rasulullah, with the book of Allah? King Hercules. So Muslims are continuing and they are capturing place city after city and town after town. He sent a message to Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu that please send a person to me who can talk to me. I would like to talk to someone about these situations. Let's negotiate. This is when negotiation comes. Let's sit and negotiate and see if we can come up with good resolution, with good solution. Instead of we fight each other. Okay, mashallah. You want to talk? We are ready to talk. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu sends a sahabi that many of us may not even have heard the name of that sahabi. His name was Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. Rib'i ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. Sahabi who is in his 20s, a young man, is chosen by Khalid radiallahu anhu at a time when you have people like Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah, like Khalid bin Walid, those great people, and you can just name it, and you have those Sahaba there, Abu Hurairah is there. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu decided to send this young man to go and talk to the king. This man goes, and again, the whole detail is mentioned in Futuh al-Sham by Imam Waqidi, and Imam Ibn Kathir have mentioned it in summary also. Ibn Amir goes there. King Hercules wanted to impress Rib'i ibn Amir as he comes in. And of course, even without it, the way those kings used to live, survive on the bloods of people, people will have to sell their children in order to pay the taxes for these kings so that they can have all the fun in the world. Yes, read the history. Literally, people used to sell their own children in order to be able to pay the taxes. That level of people, that low category of people, was just busy working and working and working so that they can pay these kings for them to have every fun. Sets his stage, wears his crown, beautiful carpets. And many times we really underestimate what those people had. If we start reading the history, we would realize that the means of having fun or decorations or these type of luxuries that they had, many of those things we may not even be able to think about even nowadays. Believe me, they had such things. Anyway, everything is set. Armies are standing right and left. And people are entering, and as they enter, they do the sujood for the king, they bow down for him. Muslim delegation is about to come. Who is the Muslim delegation now? Who are the Muslims now? Of course, this will be the delegation of a group of people that have scared the largest powers in the world. This was the situation. And these people will be going there to talk to the king who, remember this, from the worldly point of view, was considered to be sitting in the highest position in the world at that time. Two superpowers at that time, Roman and the Persian Empire. And out of these, by now, Roman Empire was considered to be more powerful than the Persian Empire. And it wasn't by warring that they will wait war for you and you depend on us, and after 3 years, after 7 years, after 10 years, you will be out. It's a king who would be there forever, for the rest of his life. And not only that, he would be there, after he goes, then one of his family members will take over. It's personal property. They own the country, they own people. How beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that in Quran, when the Hudhud, a bird, went to the place of Saba, and he saw the queen who was ruling them. When Hudhud came back to inform Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam of the situation, look at the beautiful wordings of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي وَجَدْتُمْ رَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ. The bird comes to say to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, I have seen something very amazing. What was so amazing? إِنِّي وَجَدْتُمْ رَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ. I saw a woman who owns them. تَمْلِكُهُمْ, not تَحْكُمُهُمْ. She doesn't rule them. She owns them. This was the kingdom in those days. They used to own people. Besides owning everything else. Rabi' ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. He arrives there. Everyone looks at him. Is he the person who's going to talk to the king? And they describe him in the histories. A man who from his look is not a person who would consider to be a very strong soldier, doesn't have a big body, very medium-sized body. He's covering his body with two sheaves that have more than 17 pages or patches on it. He's riding not a horse, he's riding a mule, and he's holding to a spear in his hand, and he has a sword tied on his side. Very old type of sword, old spear. As he gets over there by the door of the castle, he gets off his mule, starts walking down on the carpet, and as he walks, he is leaning on his spear. And imagine what happens when you would be leaning on your spear on the ground. It's making holes in that beautiful carpet. And he is walking with that mule on the carpet. Right away, everyone started shouting at him. Wait a minute, sir. You have to take these things out there. Keep these things away. What do you mean? They look at him. Villager doesn't know none of these things. Have never seen a nice carpet in his life. And I'm sure he must have thought about it also. This is what they would think of me. Sir, you have to keep your mule over there, out there by the door. And keep your spear there. Keep your sword out. You can't go to the king with any weapons. He says, go and tell your king. He wants to talk to me. He invited me. Tell him, does he want to talk to me or not? And if he wants to talk to me, then I'll come the way I want. I did not come by myself. I'm invited over here. And you should respect your guest. You should know, you people don't even know how to respect your guest. I'm going to come the way I want. Go and talk to him. They said, this is a villager who doesn't understand nothing. He wants to just walk with his mule and with his spear. Say, let him come. Goes there. He sees a beautiful couch. Ties his mule with it. Goes up on the stage and sits next to the king. Everyone looks at him. What this man is doing? Sir, come down, sit over there. Why? Didn't do sujood for the king. He said, do you people do sujood for him? Who is he to do sajda for? We never bow down before any human being. Our forehead bows down only before Rabbul Alameen subhanahu wa ta'ala. By now, he have won the game. He doesn't have to say anything more. That's it. He won their hearts before he would even talk to them. Set all of those situations and everything, the whole setup was to impress him. By now, every person, including the king, is impressed by this villager. This person did not need a car like their car. He did not need a necklace like their ones. He did not need to wear the earrings. He did not have to have a mushroom cut. He did not have to change his dress. He did not have to keep on dancing while he's walking. He went the way he was, and he proved to them that this is the way that you people are supposed to be. Amongst those thousands of people that are gathered there, thousands of people are gathered with every means that are possible to have over there from the worldly point of view to impress the person. Nothing worked on this man. Nothing worked on this man. In no time, he won the whole game. That's it. Now, everyone is looking up to this man. Really, it's not the way we were thinking that he's a villager, he doesn't have a bad address, this is why he's wearing it. No, he means what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He stands for what he's doing. I think that was a minor challenge for Rabi'ah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. But yes, when mentally he was prepared for it, and he realized, what I'm doing, this is the real value. This is the thing to do. What is this? They're going to impress me with their wives? What does that mean to me? They're going to impress me with all the beauty that they have, with the beautiful castle? No, no, that doesn't impress me. I'm not going to bow down before people like me. It's not impressive at all. And here, that person who would have every person bow down before him, who supposedly was sitting at the highest position from the worldly point of view, at this time, his heart is bowing down before Rabi'ah ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. His heart is gone. And he starts talking to him. And then, you start following the conversation that came next, you would find that subhanallah, the king is just bowing down and bowing down, and Ibn Amir radiallahu anhu is saying, no, I'm not going to accept this. And you have to do it this way. If not, I don't even bother talking to you. Let me just go. And he said, no, please, sit down. Let us talk. They proved themselves. They stood for it. They knew what they were doing. And they believed in what they were doing. And they really backed what they were doing. They did not leave it. Sister walks out. She's wearing a hijab. Believe me, when she stands for it, many others in the world consider this to be the biggest challenge in the world. For this sister, this is something that she would enjoy as part of her da'wah to the deen of Allah. When no one approaches her to ask her, why are you covering your head? She may go out and ask someone, do you know why I'm covering my head for? This is the mental situation that we need to stand for. Iman, our aqidah, our understanding, and our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stand for what we do. We see a lot of challenges in the world. I'll give you an example that will explain some of these challenges that we are facing, and especially our youth are facing these days. Person wears the most expensive dress. He wears very expensive dress. And he's always dressed up when he leaves home. Sitting on the best rides. He's known for it. He's known for these things. He would never walk out of his home with clothes that are not considered to be some very high category of clothing. And I will, inshallah, if we get a time towards the end, I will talk those about these categories too. He's not among his friends. He won't even talk to people who do not ride certain type of cars, don't wear a certain type of dress, who don't wear a certain type of watches. I don't know if many of us are aware of it or not. We may think these are just examples that we are making it up. Believe me, I associate with young people who are in that position. And that boy would never wear a watch that can be sold in the market for $1,000. He feels ashamed going to the school wearing a watch that is only $1,000. Believe me, I know these young people. I associate with them. I talk to them. I told him once, I said, bro, we went together. I said to him, next time when you go to buy a watch, take me with you. We are buying a watch now. $3,000. I said to him, you know, this watch will give you the exact same 24 hours in a day. It won't give you any more. My watch worth $20. It gives me 24 hours a day. He says, yeah, but I have to go to school too. And then he tells me, what is this? This is nothing. The purse that my mother carries, she buys it for $5,000. Yes. And he showed it to me in the store. And there was. When he told me initially, I thought, you can't buy a purse for $5,000. So I asked him, does your mother have that money now, any money left over to put it in the purse? But yes, that's a status out there. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. Read Quran. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. Fir'aun was too arrogant in his country. He considered himself to be too great. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. He divided the people in his country into different groups. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. Divided people into groups. يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. He used to keep one group always to be very weak in that country, so that they can keep on serving the rest of the people. System set up by Fir'aun. Dividing people into different groups, so that one group will use every means of the world, every means of comfort, and the other ones will just keep on working for them. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. He used to keep one group weak, to be in a very low situation. Different classes that we have, high class people, low class people, they will take you to a neighborhood that this is a very high class neighborhood. I bought my house over here. Brother, for how long you have been living in this neighborhood? For last 10-15 years I have been living in this house. And this is a very high class level of people that live over here. Who lives next door? I don't know. Who lives on the other side? I don't know. Do you know the person who lives across the street? I don't know. You don't know none of these people. How did these people become the high class people? How do you know that they are high class people? Oh, they are high class people because they live in this neighborhood, they drive this car, and they own this home. Isn't this a reality? These are the classes. The class is not by the person himself, is by what he has. Tomorrow, if he is not able to keep up that, he will be a low class person. Once he would have to sell his home and go and live in another neighborhood, he can't afford to pay for this car, the mortgage is too high, goes down to the other neighborhood now, buys another type of car, now his class have changed. Classes of human beings by the worldly materials that they can acquire. Rabi' ibn Amir radiallahu anhu proved to them that look, regardless of my dress, regardless of my right, regardless of what I'm holding in my hand, but I have proved to you that my class is the highest class. With everything that you have, still you need to come into my class. This young man, he rides a very expensive ride, wears the nice type of dresses available, and he's known for that category, being in that category in those days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaches the young man. He says to him, هَلْ لَكَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Are you interested in this Islam? Look, let me tell you what Islam is all about. And then he explains the deen of Allah to him. And this young man decided that this is better than what I have at this time. And he takes the shahada. His family finds out. He's from a very rich family. The family finds out. They stop giving him everything he used to have. Now, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, I lost everything, but I'm happy. I'm not looking to have those things. Can I borrow a sheet, Ya Rasulullah? I need to borrow a sheet so I can cover my body and give them the dress, the cloth that I'm wearing, that I have on my body. I don't even want to keep this from them. Let me go and give it back to them. Give me a sheet that I can borrow. In Medina Munawwara, most of the people of Ansar, that we know them, the greatest support for deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the people of Ansar. Majority of the people of Ansar became Muslim by the words of this young man. Do you know who he was? Do you remember the name? Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he went to Medina, he sent Mus'ab ibn Umayr to Medina Munawwara. And as Mus'ab ibn Umayr went to Medina, he started talking to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much power in his words that he just talks to the people and people are taking the shahada. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he looked at Mus'ab ibn Umayr and he had tears. He started weeping. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in asked, Ya Rasulullah, what makes you cry? Fidaka abi wa ummi. Ya Rasulullah, what makes you cry? Something upsets you? He said, when I look at Mus'ab bin Umair, I remember the days, early days before he became Muslim, how he used to be in those days, how he used to dress, the most expensive ride, the most expensive perfumes that were available in those days. As he came into this deen of Allah, he gave up all of this. Today I see him wearing a set of dress that is full of patches. And when Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu passed away, they could not find a sheet to be used as his coffin. There was no sheet that can be used for the coffin of this young man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, cover his head with the sheet that he has and cover his feet with some grass. The man, this young man, took the challenge. And he was ready. He did not give no value to those things. To him, once he tasted the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was the sweetest thing in his life. And he got the real taste of it. When he got the real taste of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him, that dress meant nothing anymore. The things that were the most valuable to this young man up to this day, right away, the values changed 180 degrees. And now, those things that were the most valuable are considered the least important thing in his life. Now the value is to something else. The taste that this man got in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is, of course we see a lot of situations out there. We are having problem doing our salah. We are having problem going out and showing with our physical appearance, showing our iman. We are having problem discussing deen with others. We have problem associating with people. We have problem talking to people. We have problems at schools, at colleges. We have problems at workplaces. We have problems at different places of entertainment. How can we go there? A lot of problems. At every field of the life, we have a problem. And normally, if you look at it, the real thing is, the only problem is a mental problem, where we have considered all of these things to be a major problem because we are undermined. We don't realize the importance of things that we got in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have the value of these things. If we just carry the value of these things, to us we are valuing the other things over there. This is so great, I will go with this. This is the only thing, this is the reason. He is having something, look at his dress, so great, look at my dress, how can I walk with this? If you realize, look at my dress, it's so great, look at him what he's dressing. You can just put it the other way around, no more challenge. You just go over there and that person would realize that he's facing a big challenge talking to you. Really, people will have to face huge challenges talking to you. It will be a challenge for the people who don't like your lifestyle. Create that personality. Have that personality. Just take Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu and his personality and see how he was able to just give up all of those things in no time. Give up all of those things. And right away, as soon as he adopted the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he realized that this is the real value. This is, I got today something that I was missing throughout my life. This is what I was looking for. This is what my heart and my mind was searching for. With everything that I had over there, I did not have the peace of mind. Today I got it. I got what I wanted. And here, he starts preaching this thing to the people. And he's convincing people that look, come to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the most valuable thing you would have. This is the most valuable asset that you will have in your life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about the exact same situations, he tells us in the hadith, "An-nasu ma'adin kama'adin al-dhahabi wal-fidda." People carry mines within themselves, just like the mines of gold and silver. Do we realize that there is a whole huge mine within us, just like the mines of gold and silver? But these mines of gold and silver, they can be used once someone have worked on them, and once they are purified, and now bring it up to the people, people will see the real use of these minds. Once we bring our deen and iman up, and we start showing the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put within us, believe me, these are huge minds that are buried within us. Umar ibn al-Khattab, that young man who is so emotional, he hears something, he gets up, he wants to kill the person. He gets up, he wants to go and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know it. This is what he wanted to do. He gets up and he wants to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, making the long story short, he embraced Islam. After embracing Islam, as now the real mind came up, now, and up to this day, he was known to be very violent. People are afraid of him. People are running away from him. Now, subhanallah, who is afraid of him? Shaitan is afraid of him. The same ability was used, and shaitan is afraid of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And up to this day, even every shaitan is afraid to hear the name of Umar ibn al-Khattab. One of the scholars was asked, how come shaitan was afraid of Umar, whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was greater, and he wasn't afraid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't afraid of Abu Bakr, but he's afraid of Umar. The scholar says, because he's shaitan, he doesn't know who to be afraid of. But in reality, this was the mind that was hidden inside Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, that type of personality, where initially when it was misused, that personality, when it was misused, he was violent. When it was used in the right place, he became the greatest ruler in the world, period. Greatest ruler in the world after Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Even non-Muslims are using the example of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. They used to send people, those who had been ruling before him, and they are considered to be ruling superpowers. People are bowing before them. They are sending people to Medina. Go and see how Umar is ruling people. We don't know how he's so successful. These challenges are not new. It's developing that personality. Developing the true personality. Now very quickly, let me give you some examples in the light of Quran. Very short and brief examples. I won't take too much of your time, inshallah. So that we can understand that these challenges that we are facing, they were always there. And people before us, they faced these challenges. And not only standing from Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Yes, they did. Study their lives. They faced a lot of challenges. But the thing, these challenges were there even before that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Sayyidina Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam. The ayah that I recited at the very beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam approached his people, he's talking to them in their own language. This is a person from his own people. He's talking to them in their language. And they said, in return, they said to Shu'aib alayhi salam, Ya Shu'aib, ma nafqahu kathiran mimma taqul. We don't understand most of the things that you talk about. We don't know what you're talking about. Big challenge nowadays. Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know where we live? Do you know what we have to deal with? Ma nafqahu kathiran mimma taqul. It's just like a person in the jungle trying to talk to animals, and they're saying nothing. They don't understand. They're saying to Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam, مَا نَفْقَهُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَقُولُ. This is what most of us would get the reply today. As soon as you go with the deen of Allah, this is the reply you get. Do you know what you're talking about? People don't understand. They don't even understand what we are after. You tell them, look, this is the way that you are supposed to live. This is how a Muslim woman is supposed to cover herself. This is her modesty. مَا نَفْقَهُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَقُولُ. We don't understand what you're talking about. And Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam continues preaching. And you know what they tell him? يَا شُعَيْبُ أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْحَلِيمُ الرَّشِيدُ. does your salah, because we see you doing a lot of salah, it looks like now you're considering yourself to be very virtuous, and does your salah tells you that we should now stop worshipping what our forefathers used to worship? Or, أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءَ. Does your salah and your prayers are teaching you that we should not do what we want with our wealth and spend the wealth the way you are telling us to spend it? Don't talk about our wealth. Don't talk about our money. It looks like because you do too many prayers, something is wrong with you now. Yes, these are the replies that these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are getting. أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ. And then at the end, إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْحَلِيمُ الرَّشِيدُ. Yes, you are very wise, very understanding, brethren. Which means they are making fun of him, they are mocking him. It looks like you are very wise, you are the wisest person in our country. Do you have anyone else who have the same type of understanding of yours? No. You are the wisest person in the country, mashallah. Yeah, keep it to yourself. Don't we see that? Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes out. What did they reply to him? Ya Salih, qad kunta fina marjuwan qabla hadha. Look at the challenge that we have today and that they had at that time. What does it mean? قَدْ كُنْتَ مَرْجُوًا فِينَا قَبْلَ هَذَا. Salih, you grew in our community. You are a young man who grew in this community. We had a lot of hopes from you. We were looking up to you. You are a very wise child. You know, we always looked up to you in our community. قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. We used to look up to you. And now you are giving up all of these things and you want to just go and sit in the masjid? كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. We had a lot of hopes from you. You really have destroyed all of our hopes. What are the challenges that the youth are facing today? If you do this, if you go to the prayer, you're going to miss class. I had a lot of hopes from you that you would achieve something in your life. But look at what you're doing to yourself. And especially when it comes to our daughters. She was convinced that the deen of Allah orders me to cover my head and to have my hijab on. As soon as she puts it on, what have you done to yourself? We had a lot of hopes from you. We were just looking up to you. We spent so much money on you, on your education, and now you just put these things on your head? What are you doing to yourself? Challenges are the same. And the replies and the answers are the same. These, all of these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the followers of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then you come to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, they always faced very similar changes throughout the history. You keep on looking at the history, these challenges were always there, they always existed, and people had to face much greater challenges, especially when it was in the initial days, when Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is a prophet all by himself, he doesn't even have followers. We still have so many people that can back us, that can support us, that can speak for us. But here a Prophet of Allah who has to prove his own prophethood, people are doubting his prophethood, and then on top of that, he's doing things that are considered to be extremely strange in that society. So they're asking, what are you doing? Are you the only person who has the good understanding? No one else understands the right thing? A lot of people, we get asked the same question. Do you think you are the best scholar? What are you going to say? Say yes? Okay, yeah, we know that. Say no? Yeah, then we'll ask someone better than you. That will happen to all of us. So challenges are the same. The bottom line is, we have to, the main thing to face everything that a human being has to face in this life is to create your personality. Develop that personality. Once you develop the personality, and you develop the right personality, then you know what you're doing. You stand for what you're doing. And you will hold to what you're doing. You won't just give up everything that easily. You won't just keep on giving things up for no reason. Then you have a personality. And in fact, people around you will be getting impressed by this personality. That mashallah, look at this person. Normally, what happens with our youth, especially, believe me, this is what's happening to us with our youth that are growing here. A lot of time, what happens is, we get impressed by what's happening out there. And what is happening? Let me briefly just introduce that also to you. What is happening? The whole week, everyone is working so that they can enjoy the weekend. 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. Work so that you can enjoy the weekend. Friday night, Saturday night. Go ahead. have every enjoyment and have fun. And Monday, go back to work. And keep on working and working and working and working. Do whatever you can and keep on work yourself out and killing yourself so that you can enjoy the weekend once again. And all the youth are looking for the weekend. And now, again, next weekend, use up whatever you have. Kill all of your energy. Whatever you had, do it. That's it. This is what you were waiting for. This is the essence of the life, those two nights of the weekends. It keeps on going on and on. Just like a person who's waiting in a long line to sit in the roller coaster. It takes him an hour before he gets his turn. The roller coaster, he gets in it. He sits in there. The roller coaster takes him ups and down and few turns, come back. In 2 minutes, he's back where he was standing. What did he get? Few turns, few jumps, back to where he was. Back. You want to go back? Stand in the line for again for another 2 hours. Get your turn, 2 minutes, you're back there. 5 days a week, keep on working, two nights, you go and enjoy, and few jumps and few turns, come back. Monday, go back to work. This is the whole life, and the life ends just around these entertainments. At the end, when the person comes towards the end of the life, realizes, it was too long now for me to realize. It was too late. It took too long in my life. Not only that, as they get to the end of the life, now the person is about to get married, realizes, what did I do with my life now? I had all the time in the world. I could do a lot, I could have done a lot of things. Oh, I wish I would have used my time. I wish I would have done something out of my time. But whatever is gone is gone. So basically this is what's happening out there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, very well-known hadith, and inshallah I will end it with this hadith. And he was sitting with a group of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and a person came. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sat just next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and asked him, "Mal Islamu ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah, tell me what is Islam?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained Islam to that man. Now he says, "Mal iman ya Rasulullah? Ya Rasulullah, tell me what is iman?" And he tells him what iman is. "Mal ihsan ya Rasulullah?" Then he asked, "What is ihsan ya Rasulullah?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him what ihsan means. Each time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies to the person, this person in return says sadaqta, yes, this is true. Sahaba are amazed that number one, we don't know who the man is. He doesn't look like a traveler, but he's not from Medina. He comes and sits so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then questioning means he doesn't know, and then he's confirming it. Yes, this is true. This means he already knows all of these things. When did he learn? We never saw him here. At the end, he asked, "فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ." Tell me when the day of judgment would take place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, مَالْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one who's questioning doesn't know anything better than the one who's asking, who's being asked. So, مَالْمَسْؤُولُ, the one who's being questioned doesn't know better than the one who's asking. I don't know more than you do. Which means, I have no information of when it would take place. So he asked, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. Tell me some of the signs of the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned some signs of the Day of Judgment. And one of those signs was, ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. You see people who don't have shoes to wear, who have no clothes to wear, naked people, and these are the people who are competing with each other in building lofty buildings. Today when we hear this hadith, have you heard the hadith? The person who came to ask was Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. Today, as soon as we talk about this hadith, we say, yeah, go to Makkah and Medina, you see lofty buildings. More than this, I would tell you, look around you. And you see people who were naked when they were born, and they're up to this day, they are naked. And they are considered to be the highest stars, where every person around wants to just follow those people. And they are holding the highest positions, making the highest money. These are the stars. Ala. Hufat and Urat and Ala. These are people who, if you look at the back of the life, they were always out on the streets. And they were cared for education. They must be from poor families too. And after this day, they don't wear shoes, they don't wear proper clothing, and they are proud of this. And they want to teach the whole world, if you become like us, then you will hold the highest status. You will be building these lofty status in the world, if you become like us. And everyone is looking up to these stars. Our youth, our children are looking up to these stars. Yes, yes, look, it looks so great. Look at the status that they have built. These movie stars. These are Hufat and Ura. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us the real deen of Allah. Hold to the status that you get in the deen of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the understanding of what status means. What values mean. What this life means. That will be the real life. That will be the real understanding of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding of our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true Islamic personality. The true personality where we can understand our deen, where we can stand for our deen, where we can believe in our deen, where we can trust in our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We trust him and we put our trust in him. So that whatever he tells us, we understand that this is the highest value that we can have in the world. And these are the highest things and highest achievements in this world that exists in the world. And these are the things that we need to be doing in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.